Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we got a great show for you. Carlo's going to be with us both hours, and we're talking about overcoming obstacles to Catholicism. He wrote a book about that, as a matter of fact. If you have an obstacle to a full embrace of the Catholic faith, then if you'd like to call and talk about it, whatever it might be, you know, maybe it's a Marian doctrine, maybe it's just comes down to faith in Jesus or belief in God, whatever your obstacle is, 888-318-7884 is the number to call, 888-318-7884. If you've got an obstacle and you're a Catholic, you can also call if there's something that you're struggling with, 888-318-7884. Carlo, of course, apologist here at Catholic Answers, wonderful speaker and author of quite a few books, including Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And that's what we're going to do, try to help you overcome obstacles today, 888-318-7884. Hi, Carlo. Thanks for being here.
Cy Kellett. It's great to be here with you, my friend.
And I was away for a couple of days.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I saw some parts of California with my wife that I had not seen before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Do you know that this state has very beautiful stuff in it?
Indeed, it does.
It was quite a... I've always heard people say, oh, you should go to the Central Coast. It's so beautiful. And I have to admit, I was a little Southern California arrogant, like, it's beautiful where I live. And then I went there and I was like, we ain't got nothing like this. Like, it's beautiful. It's lovely. So
I just wish I had the money to go and see those things.
Yes. Well, thank you for making me feel guilty about getting away.
Beautiful things in California, but not the means to get there.
That's the thing is, who was the guy? Woody Guthrie. If you ain't got the dough, then California ain't so beautiful. Yeah. Carlo, overcoming obstacles to Catholicism.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, and I'm going to let people call and we'll screen some calls and get people on, but I have a guest here that I want to speak to for a minute.
All right.
So the number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And one of the things we try to promote here at Catholic Answers is people getting married and having families, because that seems like a really good thing to do. Not everybody has to do it, but it's always fun when it does happen. And Zach Maxwell.
Has happened.
Videographer extraordinaire, creative genius behind a lot of the cool stuff that happens here on screens here at Catholic Answers. Congratulations on your recent marriage.
Thanks, Zach. Hey, can I point something out real quick?
Yes. Go ahead. What is it?
I didn't talk until you introduced me. I'm already learning.
Oh, good for you.
I'm already learning being married.
You're a radio professional now.
Yeah,
I know. Good for you. So you've been married how long?
A week and a half.
A week and a half.
Yep.
And how's it going? How's the marriage going?
It's good.
How many kids?
as many as I can in a week and a half.
Congratulations on that. That's exactly right. That's the next thing we all have to start bugging you about. Well, we won't bug you about it.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, we probably will.
You will.
I have to say, I'm not blaming you for this, but your generation tends to put off marriage, and you did not. Where'd you get the bravery when so many people your age? Because you're what, 17? How old are you?
I'm 23.
You're 23. Yeah. A lot of 23-year-olds are scared of marriage, right?
Yeah,
now.
I know.
So tell me about that. What in your formation prepared you to get married at this marriageable age?
I think the thing that motivated me most was I'm going to go through it either alone or with someone else.
Oh. And what a fatalistic view.
I can fight
my way through this alone or with someone else. Yeah.
Well,
all right.
And along the process, I can help someone else along.
Yeah.
And it's not just someone. Obviously, it's the woman that I love and all that. Yeah. So that's kind of what kept pushing me to just keep making decisions that led to marriage.
Have you called her Mrs. Maxwell yet?
I haven't, actually.
You what? Has she called you Mr. Maxwell yet?
No.
These are your new
Mr.
names.
Mr. Maxwell's my father.
It's you now. You're Mr. Maxwell.
I am Mr. Maxwell. But people called me Mr. Maxwell before as well.
Yeah, you were also Mr. Maxwell before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that way. So, happily married for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah, almost there.
Good for you.
My mom texted. My mom didn't text me. She texted my wife a week after we got married.
Is that weird to say, first of all? Is that weird to say?
It is very odd. I was talking to a barista. I frequent a coffee shop here. And I was talking to a barista that we both know. And I said something about my now wife. And she got so excited. And I'm like, it's so weird. This is the only time I'm going to be able to say things like that.
What, the only time meaning the rest of your life? Or
no, I mean it's the final change in our relationship, so to speak.
I see.
Besides having kids and all that, but
yeah, this is the biggest
semantics.
Step.
It's the last semantics change.
Right.
Yeah.
Along with a reality change.
A huge reality change. One reality is I found I'm not as neat as I thought I was.
Oh, you're going to find out so many more things about yourself, man. Get ready for some lessons.
I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, well, that's part of the joy of marriage, the struggle of marriage, and all of it comes together. And So what do you have in your refrigerator now?
Chocolate milk, apple juice, and because that's what she likes. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And kombucha, which is what I like.
I know. You're... You and your generation and the foods you all eat.
Do you know what you guys ate?
Oh, my generation? Yes. Yeah. We ate Hostess products, and we still do. They're delicious, and they do not have...
anything bad in it.
Any kind of bacteria growing in them or whatever you have in kombucha.
They can't foster life.
Nothing can grow in them. They can't foster any life. Well, we're very proud of you.
Thank you.
You did good. How do your parents feel about the whole thing?
They're over the moon.
Are they?
Yes. Good. They're very, very excited.
You're one of seven, right?
Yeah. I'm the middle
child. Why did you have to think about that? You don't have it memorized now?
Yeah,
you're one of seven.
You know.
And how was it hard to find a priest who would marry you? Like, did you have difficulty finding a priest who
it
would
was so
get up
difficult.
In front of the two of you?
It was so difficult. I ended up having to go to my brother, who's a priest.
Yes.
He was my last resort.
You asked every other priest? And
every
the,
other
everyone
priest
said no, and
in
you said,
California.
I'll ask my brother, the priest. Your brother is an order priest. In which order?
Yeah, Milis Christi order.
And he's Milis Christi's from Colombia, I think, right?
No, from Argentina.
From Argentina,
yeah.
Okay.
So they're based in Argentina.
And he's one of the few kind of North American vocations they've made, right?
He was the first American-born priest, and during his ordination... during the homily, one of the Argentinian priests was giving the homily, and he said, "We're so happy to have Father Matthew, our first Native American priest."
Ah, yes.
He's not Native American.
No, but he meant...
he meant Native to America.
Yeah, he's Native to... Right. You have a Native American brother who married
you. I guess
you.
So.
Well, that must have been such a beautiful day for your parents. One son who's a priest, another son who's now a husband.
Yeah.
And what is it? Five more. Five more to go.
Yes, five more to get. Well,
whatever.
Something like that. I don't know. I lose track.
I'm sorry. That was a hard math problem.
I have a married a brother and a priest brother. So that leaves four other siblings, right? Math.
Married brother. You have a married brother.
I have a married brother.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I'm not the first married person in our family.
Okay. Well, so did you have to do marriage prep?
We had to do the diocesan weekend event and then Saturday event. But that's about all we did.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if
did
I
did it help.
Say that.
Was it helpful to you? Or?
The weekend was good.
Well, y'all had informal prep. You know,
yeah,
that was
I mean, like our
prep,
entire life has been our prep.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think our pastor knew that, so he didn't demand anything else. But he had us do the diocesan required things.
Well, I think you're probably required to do that.
Yeah,
I think
one or the other are required, and we did both. But they were actually very helpful. I did not want to go to the weekend retreat.
Why? What was your feeling about it?
I was like, oh, they're going to be telling us stuff that I already know. I'm very prideful. so I went into it being like, ugh, I don't want to sit through 36 hours of this or 48 hours of this. And it actually was very good.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. You know, we have not mentioned your wife's name because I don't know if she wants to be mentioned on the air.
You could say her name, I'm sure.
Mrs. Maxwell.
Yep. That's
her name.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you.
Shannon.
Yes.
Shannon Maxwell.
Yep. Shannon Maxwell has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does have a nice ring. Yes. And she's a lovely person, and congratulations.
She really is. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with obstacles to Catholicism. If you've got an obstacle keeping you out of the full practice of the Catholic faith, give us a call, 888-318-7884. All right. Back with more Carlo and Mr. Maxwell. We'll go back to the video machines. Bye, Mr. Maxwell.
Bye, Si.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Each week on The World Over, Raymond Arroyo challenges listeners and viewers with important political and cultural reporting and analysis of a wide variety of topics of interest to Catholics and people of faith. And you can get news from The World Over in your inbox every week. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host, Carla Broussard, our guest, and several lines still open. If there's some part of the Catholic faith that you see as an obstacle, maybe it's a moral teaching, maybe it's a doctrine of the church. You know, many people have problems with the doctrine of purgatory, for example, or people have problems with the various Marian doctrines. The divinity of Jesus gives people trouble. The authority of the church to teach. Maybe there's something in there that gives you a problem and you'd like to talk about it with a well-trained apologist. Give us a call. Carlos here to take your call. 888-318-7884. It really is nice to see young Zach married.
Indeed. Yeah, they're, 23. They're lovely people. I was 21.
Were you really?
When I got married to Jacqueline.
Good
so
for
that
you.
Was 19 and a half years ago. So I was a youngin', yeah. Starting out early. So it's good to see another young buck starting out early. And it's a good thing, you know, because you get to grow together.
It is a very good thing. And I got married at 29. I wish I had done it younger. You got married young, didn't you, Darren? How old were you? 35. Sorry. Yeah. You got right into it. No delay there. But look at how. What a beautiful family you have.
Amen.
Darren's kids were in here yesterday, all five of them. Beautiful.
Wow.
Lovely. Yeah. And you know who was carrying the baby? Shannon. Shannon Maxwell.
She was getting some practice.
Getting ideas. Yeah. All right. Which obstacles or what obstacles do you face in your full practice of the Catholic faith? Give us a call, 888-318-7884.
And yeah, Cy, it doesn't have to be just non-Catholics. So, you know, we're inviting our non-Catholic friends out there who might be faced with an obstacle to embracing Catholicism, but it might be our Catholic brothers and sisters out there who struggle with some aspect of our Catholic faith. Maybe they can't fully wrap their head. Well, I mean, obviously, we're never going to fully wrap our heads around the mysteries of faith, but maybe there's something for our Catholic friends out there who are that's serving as an obstacle for them to maybe fully embrace their Catholicism. They're having some doubts and struggling with something. Or maybe just an honest inquiry, like, you know, I've always struggled with this question. I'm a faithful Catholic. I follow the magisterium, but I've always really struggled with this. You know, I need some help making sense out of it. So let's make some sense out of Catholicism. Anybody
Amen.
Out there who for whom Catholicism doesn't make sense, we want to hear from you and see if we can help you out.
That is a great way to say it. Any part of Catholicism doesn't make sense. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Laurel in Missouri will start us off listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Laurel, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Carla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have a question. I was baptized Catholic, as was my fiancé. However, I had a marriage that ended in divorce many years ago. I have left the Catholic faith. He actually has strayed from the Catholic faith. But my understanding is we cannot get married in a Catholic church, and that if he does marry me, he cannot return to the church by virtue of the fact that I was once divorced. So just want you to know how that all works for sure.
Okay. All right. So let me make sure I have this straight. So you were previously married but divorced. Your fiancé is a Catholic who is no longer practicing Catholic, and he's also divorced, and you're seeking a marriage. Is that correct?
He is not divorced.
He is
widowed.
Oh, he's widowed. Okay.
He's widowed. I'm actually widowed because I did marry again after being divorced, and my husband passed away. His wife passed away. Now we've met.
Okay, but you have a divorce, an earlier divorce in your background.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
I have an early divorce in my background.
I see.
But I listen to this all the time on my way home from work, the Catholic Answers Live.
Okay.
And I've heard it addressed, but in terms of praying, but not what the real answers are.
Okay, Laura, well, let me see if I can offer some clarity for you and maybe give you a bit of advice on maybe some steps to take. So the way the church would view this situation is that your current fiancé, given that he is widowed, he would be free and available to enter into a marriage because he is no longer bound to his previous spouse, given God's revelation that with death, the bond of marriage dissolves between the spouses. Mm-hmm. So he is free and available to enter into marriage. Given, Laurel, your previous earlier union that you had, we would assume that that earlier marriage is valid, and thus we would assume that you are bound to your previous spouse and thus currently not free to enter into a marriage with your current fiancé. So that's how the church would currently view this. Now, there's a couple of things here to move forward. You brought up the point that if your fiancé would marry you, he would no longer be able to practice his Catholic faith, if I understood you correctly. And that would be a false assumption, okay? It is true that if he were to attempt a marriage with you, the church would view that union as an invalid marriage. So the church would not recognize that attempted union as a real marriage. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we're assuming that you're previously bound to your first spouse. So it would simply be that your fiancé now would be entering into an invalid union, okay?
I see.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a step forward for this. So it is possible that your previous union, even, you know, the very first union, because the spouse that you had who died, you wouldn't be bound to that individual, mm-hmm. right? But concerning your first marriage, it is possible that upon investigation, the church may very well come to discover that you're in fact not bound to that previous spouse, because there are certain things, Laurel, in our understanding of marriage and how God has ordained things, there are some things that can actually impede this bond that we call marriage from becoming a reality. Some things that are, if certain things are in place, we can make a reasonable conclusion that God never bound man and woman as husband and wife. So that's a possibility. And the church has a process called, the process to achieve a declaration of nullity, commonly referred to as an annulment. I'm sure you probably have heard of that. And so in that process, Laurel, the church would actually investigate your previous union to see whether our assumption that it's valid is correct or not. It may very well be that the assumption is not correct and that it was never a valid marriage to begin with. If the church would come to that conclusion, then you would be free and available to enter into a marriage with your current fiancé. And that union would be a valid marriage on condition that you're getting married with an official witness of the Catholic Church and all of the conditions are met, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if the church would come to the conclusion that your initial union was not what was valid and that you are still bound to that first husband, then the church would not allow for your current fiancé to enter into a union with you, because that would be considered entering into a union with someone who is not free to marry, you see. At least that's how the church views that in reality. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I would encourage you, Laurel, that if you guys are interested, to contact your local pastor, the priest at the local Catholic church, explain to him the situation, and express to him, if you so desire, that you would like to begin the process of seeing whether your first marriage was valid or not. And you might be willing to do that. And so what I'm saying to you is that there is a possibility from the church's perspective that you, Laurel, would be able to enter into a valid marriage with your current fiancé. But there's also, I got to say this. I got to give the whole story right here, right? There's also the possibility that upon investigation, the church could possibly say, well, no, given our investigation, we believe you're still bound in real marriage. And so your fiancé would not be, you're not available to enter into a marriage with your current fiancé. So that's the lay of the land. That's how the church would view the situation. And those are my recommendations. So hopefully, Laurel, that's helpful for you.
That's very, very, very helpful.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for calling. I mean, that's awesome that you're even honestly inquiring about this. So praise God for that, and kudos to you.
Thanks, Laurel.
Thank you so much. Have a great night. All right, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Boy, all lines full now. Carla Broussard, our guest. Obstacles. Have you got obstacles to the full practice of the Catholic faith? Whether you're Catholic or not, if you're looking at some kind of obstacle, some kind of struggle with what the church teaches, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Lisa in Charleston, South Carolina, listening on 7:30 a.m. We're glad you're here, Lisa. Go ahead with your question for Carla.
Hi, yeah. I was wondering, I am Catholic myself, and I have lots of friends and family members, actually, that I would consider inviting to investigate the CIA program.
Lisa, you dropped out for a second, but I gather what you said was that you want to investigate them becoming Catholic by entering the RCIA program, but you're dodging in and out on us a little bit. So try to get right to the question. No, that's okay. I just want to make sure Carlo gets your question.
Yeah. So if someone is going to go through RCIA, if they have had an abortion, would they be able to come into the church and be in full communion with the church and be able to receive the Eucharist, you know, if they went through the process and confessed and everything?
Yeah, well, Lisa, the answer to that question is yes. I think it was in 2016, Cy, if I'm not mistaken.
Pope Francis is what you're talking about. I don't remember what
year, Carla. I think it was in 2016 Pope Francis extended to Catholic priests the power to forgive abortion in the sacrament of reconciliation. And so currently, as the church's law stands, if a woman has had an abortion and they're desiring to become Catholic, then in that RCIA process, Lisa, they would at some point in time go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. They would confess that sin of abortion. The priest, through absolution, would be able to absolve the woman of her sins, and in particular that sin. And that would be one step among other steps in the process of becoming a Catholic and or fully in communion with the Catholic Church, depending upon her situation. So the bottom line answer to your question is yes, it is possible. So don't fear, don't be hesitant, and don't fear inviting a young woman to become Catholic, even though you might suspect that she has had a prior abortion. In fact,
and
what she needs, right, Lisa, what she needs is the church and the mercy of the Father being given to her in the sacrament of reconciliation. And through that sacrament, she's going to receive the graces that will bring about healing within her heart and help her to begin to experience the happiness that our Lord wills for us to experience even after our faults.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything y'all do.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thank you. God bless you. Well, obstacles? You got obstacles to coming into the church that you'd like to discuss with Carla? Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Going down to Houston, Texas now, where Maria is listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Maria, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Carla. Maria? All right. All right, hang on, Maria. Somebody pushed the wrong button. I don't want to blame it on anybody because it was me, but go ahead, Maria.
Hello?
Hey, Maria.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that was me. Go ahead with your question, Maria. Sorry.
Okay. I've always wondered. I'm Catholic. I went through Catholic high school. But when you say the creed and you say that, you know, on the third day he rose again, that's always been something that, as I've gotten older, I've never quite understood why they say again.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Maria. I'd have to think a little bit more about it and do some more research. But fundamentally, what's going on here is that we're just simply professing that he rose. It's not that he rose a second time, but that it's a single resurrection, that he came back to life again. So he was alive, he died, and he came back to life again. And so in that sense, we're saying on the third day he rose again. That is, he came back to life again.
Okay, so it's not that there was a previous resurrection at
no.
this point in time.
No, there was a previous life, but
correct.
Not a previous resurrection.
I was going to ask my priest, but I thought maybe it was too dumb of a question.
No, not at all. We're glad you asked. We'll be right back with Catholic Answers Live.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, lend me your ears.
Feeling ignored will help you be heard.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. You got obstacles keeping you from the full practice of the Catholic faith. Maybe you're a Protestant brother or sister who's like, well, I don't get why you Catholics believe this or that. Maybe a Catholic, a former Catholic, aspiring Catholic. If you have an obstacle that is in your way, you know, I just cannot get my head around why the church has, you know, prays to Mary, or why the church insists on indulgences or purgatory or whatever. If there's one that gives you trouble, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We have a dress code here at Catholic Answers. I don't think I have given the document to Thomas, however. So here is Thomas, the TikTok engine, wearing his Guns N' Roses, really? Guns N' Roses t-shirt? That's what you're wearing,
Welcome
Thomas?
Welcome to the jungle.
Oh, okay, here we go. Thomas, the TikTok engine. What he does is, Thomas does a lot of things around here, and he does at least 43% of them really, really well. And one of the things he does is he goes on TikTok and gets involved in the controversies there from a Catholic perspective. And sometimes people have a question or something that needs an answer from one of our apologists. Thomas brings it here while we're doing the show and then brings it back to TikTok and posts it there. Thomas, go ahead with your TikTok find for today for Carlo.
Will do, Si. Thank you. It's kind of continuing the marriage-themed first hour we've got going on. But this person on TikTok, they said they want to join the Catholic Church. He says, but I'm divorced. I don't ever plan on remarrying. Do I have to get my marriage annulled, or can I skip that?
Oh. Right. So what he means, just for our listeners' sake, for clarity purposes, what he means by get my marriage annulled is get a declaration of nullity, yeah. right? The declaration that his previous marriage was null and void and not valid. But once we understand that, the answer to his question is no, he does not have to get a declaration of nullity in order to become Catholic. He can remain in this state of civil divorce, but in reality simply physically separated, assuming that the bond is valid, and he become Catholic and remain faithful to that bond, which would mean he's not going around dating looking for another woman to enter into marriage with. That if that condition holds or is met, then sure, he would be able to come into the Catholic Church. And if he does ever come to the decision that he might think he wants to pursue marriage, well, then he could enter into that process of trying to see whether the first marriage was valid or not and see if he is able to attain a declaration of nullity. And if not, well, then have the resolve to remain faithful to the bond until death do them part. So the simple answer is no, that would not prohibit him or impede him from becoming Catholic.
That's a good point. The annulment process is mostly for someone who wants to get remarried civilly, right? It's not really about whether you can be Catholic or not.
Well, remarried in the church.
Yeah, right.
Not just civilly.
Right. Yeah. That's right. In reality, let's say.
In reality.
Yeah. Right. And it wouldn't be a remarriage. It would be marriage because right. if the first marriage was null and void and not valid,
right.
then technically, in reality, it would not be a remarriage, but first marriage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that declaration of nullity would not be necessary to become
good.
Catholic.
Sounds good.
Thomas, what band should we expect next time? What band shirt should we expect next time you come in?
I can do Judas Priest next time. I can do Metallica next time. I can I can run it up a notch.
Have you got any Tony Orlando and Dawn or maybe the Jackson 5?
Sorry, I'm 26.
All right, let's go to Jason in Pittsburgh. Thanks, Thomas, the TikTok engine. Jason in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jason, go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening.
So I'm an Anglo-Catholic, and I kind of went to Catholic school from 5th to 8th grade and even went to CCD classes when I was there. So I'm familiar with the Catholic faith and the liturgy. But I have a lot of struggles, I guess, but one of the big ones is having the saints and you know, Mary interceding for me. I always thought that scripture where, you know, it says that there's one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ. So
Mary's the obstacle. Yeah, the way we interact with Mary and treat her with this very high honor, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you probably hear that question like so many times, but it's
Well, I mean, I especially because you quoted scripture that we have the one mediator. We can hear it a million times, but it's still a good question. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you asked it.
Yeah, Jason, in no way, please do not feel like, you know, you're asking a question that we've heard over and over again and we're somehow like annoyed by it. Because for you, brother, it's weighing heavy on your heart and mind. And we want to do what we can to help you out. And we thank you for giving us a call today. So just by way of preface, you can check out our website at Catholic.com and type in Intercession of the Saints. I myself, along with my other colleagues and friends here at Catholic Answers, have written many articles that deal with the issues pertaining to the intercession of the saints and even issues pertaining to the honor that we give Mary and the saints. So what I'm going to say here in summary format, you can delve deeper into the topic on your own time at Catholic.com. So you brought up two things here, Jason, the aspect of honoring Mary and the saints, and then a related aspect, the intercession of Mary and the saints and asking them to intercede for us. So just real quick with regard to the honor, just remember, brother, that Our Lady, the Blessed Mother herself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said in Luke 1:48, all generations shall call me blessed. So that means that the Holy Spirit is confirming for us that it is okay to honor Mary Now, keep in mind, the honor that we give Mary is the honor that is due to the most perfect creature created by God. It is not the honor that is reserved for God alone, which is worship and adoration. Nevertheless, we do honor Mary, and we give that honor where that honor is due. As she said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, all generations shall call me blessed. So we need to be calling her blessed. We need to be honoring her. And keep in mind that people within, members of the people of God do indeed receive different degrees of honor based upon the role that they play within the family of God. So for example, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders are to receive double honor. So there are some members of the mystical body of Christ that receive more honor than others, given the role that they play in the mystical body of Christ. Given Mary's role in the mystical body of Christ and the history of salvation, we as Catholics, Jason, believe that she deserves the highest honor within members, among members, within the mystical body of Christ. So those are a few ideas to chew on with regard to the honor that we give Mary and the saints. Now, with regard to the intercession of the saints, you brought up a great point, Jason. In 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul is very clear that Jesus Christ is our one mediator between God and man, right? So it would seem that by us asking Mary and the saints to pray for us, we are somehow taking away from Jesus as the one mediator. But Jason, I would invite you to think of this. Think of this, this question. If I ask you to pray for me, or you for me to pray for you, is that request of intercessory prayer somehow taking away from Jesus and his unique mediation? I'm pretty sure, Jason, you would agree with me that the answer is no. Me asking Cy to pray for me, or if I'm asking you to pray for me, that doesn't take away from Jesus. So it's not the request for prayer that's going to be taking away from Jesus. In fact, Paul, in that very same passage, just a few verses earlier, Jason, Paul exhorts Timothy concerning the good of Christian intercession and intercessory prayer. So intercessory prayer among members of the mystical body of Christ do not take away from the unique mediation of Jesus. And here's the reason why, Jason. The reason why is because Christians are members of the mystical body of Christ participating in the very unique mediation or intercession of Jesus. In other words, when you pray for me, Jason, or when I pray for you, it's going to bring about fruits in our lives only because we're doing it in, through, and with Jesus Christ. It's only because Jesus is the unique mediator that our prayers for each other, Jason, are actually effectual and bring about change in our lives. Because it's only being done by the power of Jesus Christ. Because we're members of the mystical body of Christ united by grace. Our claim, Jason, is that the blessed in heaven, guess what? They're still members of the mystical body of Christ. St. Paul teaches us in Romans 8, 35 and 39 that death does not separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So the blessed in heaven, they are still members of the mystical body of Christ. So given that God wills for them to intercede for us, their intercession in no way takes away from Jesus's unique intercession or mediation because they are members in Christ, interceding for us because of Christ. Just like when I intercede for you, I do so in Christ and because of Christ, and therefore do not take away from Christ. And so the glory of Christ is actually not only preserved, Jason, when I pray for you or you pray for me, and when I request your prayers or I request Mary's prayers, the glory of Christ is actually manifest. Why? Because this is God's plan. This is God's will of how we, as members of the mystical body of Christ, are going to help each other with the exercise of love or charity by interceding for one another. And that's going to give glory to Christ because we are establishing his very unique mediation. And finally, Jason, I would just share this thought with you. It is true that Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. We cannot have access to the Father except through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. our mutual Christian intercession for each other, that's not taken away from Jesus, because it's in and through Jesus through whom we have access to the Father.
Jason, does that help you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense and a lot of good points that I never thought of before. So
beautiful.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
Wonderful. Jason, I tell you what, if you'd like a copy of Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles.
Actually, you know what? Because he asked this specific question, Si, let's give him my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Because I deal with this objection in that.
I'm going to one-up you. Let's give them both of them. There, that just happened. All right, Jason, hang on. You're getting a practical library of books. We got to take our break.
Awesome.
If you hang on, Edgar will get your information, and we will send those books off to you. We'll be right back with more Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism with Carla Broussard right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
On EWTN News in Depth, the church in France is rocked by an abuse report alleging hundreds of thousands of victims were children. Plus, surprise announcement by prosecutors in the historic Vatican finance trial. Expert analysis on these and more top headlines. Join us for EWTN News in Depth Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. People call with their Bible study questions, and I've got a place to send them now. I got a podcast I send them to. It's called The Sunday Catholic Word. And if you're not a Bible scholar, the full meaning of the Sunday Mass readings can be tough. And Carlo breaks them down for you, investigates them for you, breaks them open, as they say in some places, for you on Fridays. So any Friday, you can just go to SundayCatholicWord.com, SundayCatholicWord.com. And you can hear what Carlo has to say about the readings coming up for Sunday. Two things. One, it's good to review the readings and be prepared. But Carlo also does it from the perspective of a Catholic apologist. So there are lots of apologetics questions or issues that come up when you read Scripture. And Carlo shows how you can use the Scriptures in helping you make apologetics arguments and also helping to defend the Church against some ill-advised apologetic arguments. So check it out at SundayCatholicWord.com. I was actually listening to you record some today.
Yeah,
I was in here. It was nice. It was fun to listen to you
while
you recorded.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah, I have a good time doing it. I was getting some feedback earlier this morning from Carrie Beck, and apparently, you know, it's getting good traction. It's very steady, and the number of downloads, so people are enjoying it, the positive feedback from the folks, and I have a good time doing it. And, you know, it's helpful because, first of all, it's kind of interesting, like, what would a Catholic apologist be thinking about these texts and what is their mind latching on to? But also, in doing that, we're expounding on the Word of God in a way that's unique and distinct from other Liturgy of the Word preps, like Dr. Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma and others who have very good podcasts on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings. But here at Catholic Answers, we got a little Catholic flavor to it. Answers flavor to it with the apologetics.
CatholicSundayWord.com or
MrSundayPodcast.com.
MrSundayPodcast.com. They both take you to the same place. Check it out. How much time commitment is this? Like if someone's...
The episodes have been roughly coming out on average about 20 minutes.
20 minutes. That's great. That's fun.
Some are like 15 to 17. Some are 20 to 25, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that's sort of the general range.
All right. Check it out at SundayCatholicWord.com. Going to Darien, Connecticut now. Tom is listening on Veritas Catholic Radio, which I think of as a new Catholic radio network. I always get excited when we get calls, but they've been around a few years now. They're keeping it going over there at Veritas Catholic Radio, and we're excited about it. Tom, go ahead with your question for Carla.
Sure. So I have some good friends who are traditional evangelical Protestants, and we'll all try to talk to them about the difference in the Catholic Church and some of their beliefs. And, you know, and I usually try to hone in on the fullness of the Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a kind of a clear distinction or the fullness of the faith as available to you.
Yeah.
And which I believe in. But they almost inevitably come back and say, well, you know, they bring up their so-called Pope problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up people like Father James Martin, and they say, "Look, you're claiming this leadership and this authority, but you know these people say things that are not scriptural, and by the way, are also inconsistent with what your church used to say."
Mm.
And then they'll cite, you know, numerous examples, and I think you probably are privy to what those probably would sound like.
Yeah,
So, in any case, so the challenge is how do I get past this stumbling block, right?
Yeah.
Of when they keep bringing this up.
Yeah. Well, one possible
to their mind, very unscriptural teachings, right? And
right.
A lot of these guys are sola scriptura, right?
Okay. Yeah. So there's a few things here, Tom. So first of all, with regard to a teaching being in conflict with Scripture, that's just basic Catholic apologetics within the realm of Protestant discourse. You know, so like, for example, my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge and Meeting the Protestant Response and the variety of articles, sort of the bread and butter here at Catholic Answers for many years, that would be the go-to resources in order to equip yourself to be able to engage those kinds of challenges with regard to teachings that seem to be in conflict with Scripture. Now, they are bringing up leadership, so your task would be to equip yourself in being able to engage in a conversation and provide the biblical evidence for Christ establishing a leadership primarily in Peter in the first century Christian church, and then showing the historical continuity with Peter and the Pope today to establish that leadership principle that's present there in the paradigm or the blueprint for Jesus' church here on earth, Peter being the rock, the visible rock upon which Christ is building his church. So that would be the more abstract approach of dealing with leadership and principle and our teachings and their consistency, their harmony with sacred scripture, and sometimes outright proof texts of what we believe. Now, concerning like our current pope and any frustration that they may have with our current pope, you threw out one charge, namely that what he teaches is inconsistent with what has been taught before. Well, the initial question would be, okay, well, which teaching are you talking about particularly? Because there are, depending upon which teaching they're referring to, that's going to determine how we approach this in conversation. So, for example, if they throw out an infallible teaching of the past that a current pope is inconsistent with in his ordinary teaching, well, then we would simply conclude, yeah, he's in error. he's either malicious in his error and thus a bad pope, or he's just making an honest mistake and he doesn't know, or he's slipping up or something. And that's not going to pose a threat for us as Catholics, because we recognize, Tom, that the Pope is not infallible in everything that he says. It's possible for him to hiccup and teach something that's in contrast to or conflicts with an infallible teaching of the past. The problem would come if a current Pope would intend to bind the flock of Christ to believe something that is in conflict with an infallible teaching of the past. That would be problematic, and we believe by faith that Christ would see to it that such a pope would not be able to do so and officially teach something contrary to infallible teaching and bind our consciences to believe it. Now, that's one scenario, But then there's another scenario. So if the teaching that a current pope is inconsistent with of the past, it could be a non-infallible teaching. And thus, technically, the pope can teach something that's inconsistent with what was taught in the past that was taught in a non-infallible way. Now, sometimes that might be a lack of prudence in how a pope goes about doing that and teaching something in his ordinary magisterium that's inconsistent with non-infallible past teaching. He's not guaranteed prudence, so sometimes our current pope, even, I'll say this, goes about teaching some things that seem to be inconsistent with past teaching in an imprudent way. And so, but Catholics can disagree over that, of whether he's doing it prudentially or non-prudentially. And so notice, Tom, that whenever these charges are made, there are further nuances that have to be made in order to further the conversation and know how we are to respond. We got to know what kind of target we're dealing with in order to specify the type of arrow that we need to pull from the quiver. And often, Tom, whenever we do this and we make these sort of clarifications, not only for our evangelical friends, but even for Catholics, it can calm, right, the emotions. Because many times our emotions flare up in response to something that Pope Francis does or says due to a lack of understanding of the nuances of the different levels of teaching and what the Pope can and can't do and what he's subject to and not subject to. And finally, it may very well be that just the Pope says something that's vague. And to that, I simply say, well, welcome to the Ball Club to be frustrated, right? It's okay to be frustrated when something is said in vague terms. But remember this, Tom, and for all my friends out there listening, we need to have a principle of charity here, right? Always be motivated by charity. It's okay to be frustrated, but always remember, hey, he may have been speaking vaguely because he was on the spur of the moment and he doesn't require the skills to articulate his thoughts in a very clear and precise theological, philosophical manner. I know for myself, Cy, in talking in front of people, sometimes, oftentimes, I fail to be as precise as I ought to be.
Right.
And sometimes there is vagueness, which leads to confusion and thus the need to clarify. And so with regard to our current Holy Father, is there vagueness? Yes. Whether it's malicious, whether it's intentional, or non-intentional, I would be willing to say mostly it's non-intentional sometimes, and there would be need for further clarification. But of course, the question always comes, well, why not further clarification? And sometimes when the lack of clarification is there, that's cause for legitimate frustration as well. So that's what I would say to that, Tom.
Tom, I'm just going to say thanks. Appreciate. Well, let me take a back. Does that make sense to you, or what, did you have a follow-up on that, Tom?
Yeah, I do. Well, not really a follow-up question, but just a follow-up on clarification. These are people of what I would say of goodwill, right?
Yeah.
And they have a genuine interest in what I have to say, and more importantly, what the Church has to say.
Right.
And but I will also say, as Protestants, you know, they may not like me saying this, but they're sort of predisposed to moving on, so to speak, to find a new leader if they don't believe that their leader is. Hence the hundreds of different Protestant sects that exist.
Sure.
And so when I'm trying to stick to one, which is the Church that Jesus Christ founded.
Yeah. Right. The apostolic view is a different view. I just want to get Carlo to comment because the music's going to start playing here in a second.
Yeah. And thanks again, Tom, for your questions here. Yeah, Cy, it all comes down to, did Christ establish Peter and by way of extension his successors to be the leader of his church? If yes, then we don't go looking for other leaders of Jesus' church here on earth. Jesus is the ultimate leader, but he has established Peter and his successors in the bishopric of Rome as his vicar on earth to represent him.
I'm sorry that we had to kind of cut it off there, but thank you very much, Tom, for the call. There's lots more folks on the line. I hope you'll stay on the line because we're coming right back in a couple minutes. We'll continue with dealing with your obstacles to full communion with the Catholic faith. If you have such an obstacle, there'll be a couple lines open during the break. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. If you want to check out Carlo on Friday this week, 2 days from now, on his new podcast, SundayCatholicWord.com is the place to check. SundayCatholicWord.com. Right back with more Catholic Answers Live.